Welcome back, everybody. I am Miguel Gonzalez, and this is Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. Thank you once again for choosing to spend the next 30 minutes along with us. We trust that the Lord will use these 30 minutes, this study of God's Word, to enrich your life and to conform you more and more to the image of Christ. Today, the title of our message is The Unveiling of God, the unveiling of God, and we're going to be spending times in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. But before we start, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we pray that you would speak to us loudly and clearly, that you would open the eyes and ears of our hearts and of our understanding so that we may hear from you, and that you would allow the Spirit of God and to direct our lives and to apply that which we learn today so that we may live lives that are worthy of you. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to spend time looking at Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. That is going to be the text on which we're going to build the message, although we are going to be looking at several other passages as well, but this is the central text on which we will build our passage. God knows us, and God wants us as believers to know Him. He has revealed Himself through His creation, and He has revealed Himself through His Word and Jesus, the written Word and the living Word. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about the unveiling of God. Again, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to start reading in verse 1 through verse 3. And this is what the author of Hebrews says. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. And I want to note that in this passage is where we see that God has revealed Himself through His Word. His Word, which was spoken through the prophets who themselves wrote much of what that time was, or at the time of the early New Testament church, was the Old Testament. So God revealed Himself through creation, revealed Himself through the Word, and revealed Himself through the Word by the words that were spoken by our forefathers and the prophets in various times, in various ways. And then in verse 2 he says, but in these days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son, and don't lose sight of this passage, because it not only speaks to the unveiling of God, but it speaks also to the deity of Jesus Christ. It makes its evidence from Scripture to the doctrine of God's or Jesus' divinity. It says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word after He had provided purification for sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Well, let's look at how it is that God has unveiled Himself. God certainly knows us. God made every single one of us, whether we belong to Him, whether we are born again believers and we're children of God or not. God knows us. God knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows everything about us. God, there is no hidden secret. There is no closet when it comes to God. God knows everything. Everything is opened to God's plain sight. But He wants us to know Him. And the only way we're going to come to know God is if we enter into a personal relationship with His Son, who is, according to this passage, His Son, who is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, the one who sustains all things by His powerful word. God reveals and unveils Himself through the written word, through creation, that which Christ sustains, and through Jesus Himself. So verse 1 helps us understand that through the forefathers and the prophets and the written word, God revealed Himself to us. And we know that Scripture clearly teaches that God has revealed Himself through everything that He has created. This is general revelation. Listen, anytime a person gets up in the morning and walks out and sees the sun, or looks at the flowers, or sees a bird or a bee, or anything he sees, the gospel of God, the existence of God, is being loudly preached and proclaimed by what you see in creation. Creation has that, you know, when we talk about intelligent design, there is order, there is intelligence, there is purpose, there is meaning behind everything that has been created. Creation is way too complex. Everything that has been created and the things that are there to sustain life are way too complex for them to have just happened by chance. But we're not going to spend time talking about that. That's not the subject of this message. The unveiling of God. We know that God has revealed Himself through the Word. But also in verses 2 and 3, we're told that God has revealed Himself through Jesus. Jesus is the living Word of God. In fact, the Gospels tell us that the reason for which Jesus came, in addition to seek and save that which was lost, it was to come and reveal the Father to us, make the Father known to us. God reveals Himself, has revealed Himself, and will continue to reveal Himself through Jesus, according to verses 2 and 3. But who is this Jesus? And why is it so important that Jesus is the one who is chosen to, by word and deed, reveal God the Father to humanity? And that's where we're going to spend a little bit of time. God has chosen to reveal and unveil Himself through Jesus. And the question that begs to be asked now is, then who is this Jesus? Why has God chosen to unveil Himself through this Jesus? Well, let's spend some time looking at who this Jesus is. According to Psalm chapter 2 and verse 8, Jesus is heir of all things. Now this, I'm going to talk about seven different things Jesus is. Not an exhaustive list, but a good list. And the first one is, Jesus is heir of all things. According to Psalm chapter 2 and verse 8, listen to what it says. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Jesus is the heir of all of the created universe. God the Father has promised Jesus all things. He is the heir of all things. Jesus also is creator. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, listen to what Paul says about Jesus. For by Him, and he's talking about Jesus, in fact, let's look at verse 15. He, speaking of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Another passage that affirms the deity, the divinity of Jesus Christ. And verse 16, for by Him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. God has chosen to unveil Himself through Jesus. And this Jesus, according to Scripture, is the heir of all things. This Jesus, according to Scripture, is the creator of all things, and in fact all things were created not only by Him but for Him, according to Colossians 1:16. And also, Jesus is God's glory revealed. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 14. passage many of you know and have probably committed to memory. The Word, meaning Christ, this is a name for Christ, a title for Christ, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The unveiling of God through Jesus, this Jesus who is God's glory revealed. When God the Son took flesh and was born and lived in the, among men, women on this earth, He revealed the glory of the one and only. This one who revealed the glory of the one and only is Jesus, the living Word. Jesus also is, let's look at John chapter 10 and verse 30. I, this is the words of Christ, I and the Father are one. Jesus is God. Jesus is God expressed. When you come to know Jesus, you come to know God. Listen, Jesus is not just another man. Jesus is not just another human being. Jesus is God, and in this case, in the flesh. I and the Father are one. There's no mistake in this being another passage that affirms and clearly indicates and implies the divinity, the deity of Christ. Jesus is God expressed. Also, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus is sustainer. He is before all things, says Paul. And in Him, listen, all things hold together. That's who Jesus is. And that is the Jesus God chose to unveil Himself. God is unveiling Himself. God is revealing Himself through this Jesus. And again, this Jesus is the heir of all things. Jesus is creator of all things. Jesus is God's glory revealed. He is God expressed, God Himself. And Jesus is sustainer of all things. Before we look at the other two that I want to talk about, is I want to make some practical application and ask some practical questions. What do you know about God? Do you even care to know anything about God? If you are a person who has not trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I ask you why. Are you satisfied with life as it is? Are you satisfied with the fact that there's a void, an empty spot in your heart that you can do nothing about or anything to get rid of? Are you happy with the results and consequences to the decisions that you have made? And I don't mean, do you have material possessions, or do you have wealth, or do you have... I'm talking about the inner person. I'm talking about the inner being. You know, you have a heart, you have a soul, you have a conscience that was made to commune with God. And if you are not in a personal relationship with Jesus, you are not communing with God. And if you're not communing with God, you're not experiencing the very reason for your creation. Yes, God knows everything about you, but how much do you know about God? And do you even realize that in this lifetime and during your lifetime, the single most important decision you will ever make will be the decision to either follow or reject Christ? Now, I know we live in a world that says that faith is for the weak, for the foolish. And that at best, if not outright ridiculed, at best, Jesus was just a good man that said some good things and had good intentions. At worst, they outright ridicule and insult Christ. I know we live in a world that says that religion is nothing more than a crutch, and that religion is something that people who can't cope with life kind of adhere to or live by or become attached to. But the funny thing is that the people who argue those things and the people who promote and propagate such statements and theories are people who themselves know that in their hearts there's something missing. I mean, I won't pretend to speak for you, but am I supposed to really believe that my life and my existence happened by chance, and that I came to be in order just to experience what is, and that when I die it's all over and that was it? Listen, my heart and my conscience and my soul negate that very thought. No matter how hard I would try to believe that to be true, I know it's not. And if it's not, then what is true? Could it be that indeed there is a God? And could it be indeed that God chose to unveil and reveal himself through his written word and through forefathers and through prophets and through Christ, his son, Christ, who is these things that we have listed so far? And if it's true that God exists, and if it's true that Christ is the Son of God, and if it's true that Christ came to die for sinners who we are, so that we might be saved and spend eternity with him in heaven, if all that by chance happens to be true, should we not do something about it? I mean, do you think God has chosen to reveal himself for no other reason than just to reveal himself? Don't you think he reveals himself for a reason? One, so that the world will acknowledge and glorify him. And two, for the world to realize that we are all steeped in sin, and that apart from trusting Jesus, we will die in that sin and pay the consequences of that sin forever? Do you think it's important to come to know God and to come to understand who God is as he has revealed himself? And I'm not talking about the manufactured God that many theologians or so-called preachers speak of. I'm talking about the one who is revealed in creation and in the written and living Word of God. I'm talking about the real God. Not this fabricated man-made God who we control and we manage. I'm talking about the God who's way too big for us to even come to know in great detail, even though he has unveiled himself. Do we understand, folks, that unless we come to know the God who has revealed himself, we will perish in our iniquity and our trespasses and our sin? To live forever in a place where the presence of God will never be experienced. That's hell, folks. How much do you know about God? Well, I would argue that if you're an unbeliever, if you're not a Christian, you don't know God at all, other than the fact that you know He exists, and you may deny it all you want. I know you know God exists. I don't care how much you believe in evolution and how hard an atheist you claim to be. I know you know God exists. You know why? Because your heart, your soul, your inner man, your conscience tells you that He does. Your eyes, your ears, your ability to sense tells you God exists. So I don't care what you say, I know you know God exists. But you don't know God if you don't know Jesus personally. I know that to be true as well. Now, if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, if you have been born again, how much do you know God? How much of what He has revealed about Himself do you know? I know for a fact in this lifetime we won't even come close to beginning to know God in His fullness. And I don't even know that in eternity we will. But there's not a place in your life, or there's not a time in your life, where you stop wanting to know about God because you know everything about Him. There's no such thing. Going back so we can finish the list before we end this message. Jesus is our purification. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus, God has revealed Himself through the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, who is our purification. And lastly, on my list, and this is not an exhaustive list, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Philippians chapter 2. In verses 8 and 9. And being found in appearance as man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. Listen. How well do you know this living Word through which God unveils Himself or reveals Himself to us? I would hope and I pray that it is your prayer as well as mine that we ask God that He gives us a heart with a passion for Himself, that He gives us a heart that pursues Him, that He gives us a heart that seeks to know Him to the best of our ability. The more we desire to know Him, the more we're assured of the simple fact that we are His children, and that as natural children wanting to know their natural father and mother, we are spiritual children of God wanting to know our spiritual Father. God has revealed Himself through His Son. How will we respond? Will we accept or reject His Son? Listen, folks, there are only two choices. There are only two choices. And you know what? Eternity weighs in the balance. What you do with this Jesus, whom God has chosen to unveil Himself or reveal Himself, will determine where you spend eternity, in His presence or away from His presence. Father, thank You so much for our salvation. Thank You for choosing to reveal Yourself through creation, through Your written Word, and through the living Word, the Lord Jesus. May we live lives that bring You honor and glory, for it is in His name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Truth to Live By. Truth to Live By is a production and ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. This ministry is a listener-supported ministry. Would you please consider prayerfully supporting us both with your prayers and financially? It is because of the contributions and the partnership of God's people that we are able to continue to bring this program to you each week on this radio station. We need your partnership so that we may be able to continue preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. It is indeed our prayer that God is being glorified through the work that we do. If you are a believer, it is our prayer that God is using this to strengthen your faith and equipping you for service so that you may be able to do the work of the kingdom in this world. And if you are an individual who has not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we pray that you would take this opportunity to do so simply by praying this simple prayer. Father, I acknowledge I am a sinner. I acknowledge I can do nothing to save myself or contribute to my salvation. I believe Jesus is who he claimed to be and who the Bible claims him to be. I ask him to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, to create me anew, and to give me the gift of eternal life. For it is in his name that I pray. Amen. If you have prayed this prayer, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that you have been adopted and brought into the family of God, and you are now his child. Will you please let us know if you've made that decision so that we may be able to contact you in return and rejoice along with you. If you wanted to request any CD copies of any of our messages or any other resources that we have, we are asking that you do so in writing, and I'll give you our contact information in just a moment. I also want to make you aware of our website. Our web address is www.rffiministries.org. If you're requesting any resources, please address your letter to Truth to Live By, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227-0279. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. Our phone number is 704-778-3759. Please visit our website where you can get a great deal of information about us at www.rffiministries.org. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.